Gatau te rangi mari e, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai ao e awhinei I a tātou, tihei mauri ora. This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
Oscar took over Green Desk this week and he talked to Dr. Alvera Domese about our relationships with food as communities and the cycle of food production here in Aotearoa.
Over the weekend, I was browsing news stories for the upcoming week and one caught my eye for this week's Green Desk, the protests up north of a new Teagle factory-esque chicken farming network. I am, however, not going to talk about chickens. The case instead served as motivation to investigate the relationship our communities and environment have with the growing and production of food in Aotearoa. So this week, I talked to Dr. Alvera Domese, Soil and Health Association member and former crop and food scientist, about the relationship we have with food, the food production cycle in Aotearoa, and community gardening. First one I want to start off with is, what is food?
Food, for me, is something that I know either I can grow or someone I know locally or nationally, not necessarily know, but someone can grow, or it's something that's made from something that's been grown. So it's always something that comes out of the soil and has been either not processed into anything, or maybe it's been, you know, combined with other ingredients and made into something else.
What is the place of growing and food in communities for you, or in your community?
I'm in the Christchurch area, and there are a lot of community initiatives, community gardens, community orchards, and there's areas of the red zone where they're setting up gardens and orchards. I think it's really taking off, and I think people are getting behind it, and I think people are getting involved. There are gardens in kindergartens, gardens in schools, and I think that's a really good place to start, because if you get kids interested in growing their own food, then you know you've done all the work. You've got the next generation of growers right there.
Yeah, what do you think we can learn from these kind of initiatives?
We can learn that it's actually not that hard to grow your own food, and it's great fun, and it's something that anybody can do. Anybody that has even if you don't have a garden, you can get pots and you can fill them with potting mix and you can grow your own greens, you know, lettuces and microgreens and rocket, and you can grow your own tomatoes. You know, things like that are really quite straightforward to grow. And then if you want to go the next step, you can start your own compost bin or compost heap, or you can get worm farm bins from the warehouse or wherever else you get them from, and set up your own wee worm farm, and all your food scraps are going to go to this lovely, valuable compost that really enriches the soil. And what else it does, as well as enriching the soil, is promotes the growth of beneficial microbes in the soil, and then you get this really good, rich soil that's got available nutrients. Because one of the problems with some soils is that nutrients might be there, but they're not available. So if the microbes are really active in the soil, the nutrients become much more available and are taken up by the plants that are growing.
Do you think that these initiatives and local gardens and community gardens, as well as just gardens in general, promote healthy growth of relationships within the community?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really lovely to go into a cafe where you know that they've got their own garden out the back, or you know that they get their stuff directly from a local grower, you know, and they know the grower, and they have, like in Christchurch, for example, there's just one place I'm thinking of is the Addington Coffee Co-op, which is actually run as a cooperative. So all their profits go back into, for instance, because they're a coffee co-op, all their profits go back into overseas poor coffee growing communities, you know, and it's so that the profits feed back into the suppliers of their coffee, and they get their eggs from a local farm on Banks Peninsula, and, you know, so they know how the eggs are produced, and they know that the hens are running around in the paddocks and fed good stuff, and it's all that feel-good factor, and because of that, it's incredibly popular and pretty hard to get a seat, and the food tastes great.
Do you think that Aotearoa has a sustainable and effective food production cycle?
In some sectors, yes. There's some really good organic sector and, you know, sort of biological growers who are doing great things in terms of really replenishing the soil and really enhancing the soil. But I think on the whole, there's too much emphasis on just NPK fertilisers, which is nitrogen, phosphorus and potassium, and they're still the majority of fertilisers used. And they're highly soluble, which means they just get into the groundwater really quickly and promote shallow root growth. The roots don't dig deep to find the trace elements. They're just kind of, they root shallow in a shallow way because the nutrients are all, you know, available right at the top of the soil. And you know, the pesticide and herbicide use in New Zealand is not something I'm proud of, and it's not something that is doing the soil any good. It's not doing the stock any good. It's not doing the plants any good. It's not doing the ecosystem any good. And it's not doing the health of people any good. You know, it's supposedly a quick fix, but it's creating long-term problems.
Yeah, I was going to say, we seem to be relatively aware that mass production practices seem to be relatively detrimental to the environment. However, you briefly touched on it prior, but would you say that mass production practices, plants and chains, are detrimental to the quality of food being supplied in Aotearoa?
Yeah, industrial scale growing means you get food that has lower amounts of valuable nutrients, like micronutrients and even macronutrients. And also you've got varying levels of pesticides and herbicides in there, which isn't going to do the team any good and isn't going to do the environment any good, the ecosystem as a whole. I think that the more that people realise it's about smaller scale biological type farming, in other words, without any chemical, external chemical inputs, more based on the permaculture or at least the organic model. And it can be done. It's not actually that hard. You can do it in your own backyard. For instance, I do permaculture in my own backyard. And I mean, I wouldn't consider myself an expert, but I would consider myself being able to provide food all year round and food that tastes great.
Would you say that localising plants, planting in gardens could help fix or better the food production cycle in New Zealand?
Well, absolutely. I mean, look at the popularity of, you know, all the healthy food places that are popping up everywhere, farmers markets, which is basically small-scale growers that are coming in. It's not the large industrial growers. You know, they're really popular, and people love being able to connect with the grower of, or the cheesemaker or whatever, of the product they're about to buy or about to eat. And, I mean, the taste is completely better. And once you've tasted good food like that, it's a bit boring to go back to your industrial-grade food.
Do you have any favourite projects around New Zealand at the moment?
They're all really good initiatives, the things that people are doing in their local communities. I'm really supportive of gardening for kids and gardening in schools and gardening in any sort of institution where you can get people going from not knowing anything about gardening to becoming experts, you know, in a few months. And they do gardening in prisons and they do gardening in all sorts of places, you know, gardening on wasteland, areas of land that no one's using, you know, why not turn it into a garden?
Yeah, it's great to see all these local initiatives, especially you're in Christchurch and there's lots up here as well. Would you say that these initiatives change our relationship with what we eat and how we eat?
Oh, definitely. You know, you go from thinking, oh, what will I buy at the supermarket to what will I choose from the garden today? And not plan your meal around recipes, but plan your meal around what's seasonal, what's growing in your garden or what's growing in someone else's, you know, little patch that they've got to market, and what's ready at the moment. And so you learn to cook in a way that's not recipe orientated, it's more ingredient orientated. And that gets exciting because you get to create all these interesting things you never thought you'd make.
Do you think all this makes us more considerate and creative beings?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Gardening's very creative. It's also very observation-based. You know, you might read things in a book and you might think, well, I'm supposed to do that. But actually, I'm looking at this and I think, really, the best solution would be this. And so you try stuff out and you become a little kind of science researcher in your own backyard, and you find out that your soil is different from other soil types, maybe, and things grow slightly differently in your microclimate or whatever, and you just work with that.
It's a slightly different up here in Auckland because there's a slight higher urban density, but do you think that with all these benefits that we see, it should be encouraged for us to create urban farms or local like community gardens to break up the kind of mediocrity of the kind of urban jungle?
Absolutely. Not only is it as a great initiative in terms of food production, but it's also it's little wee microcosms of nature. You know, the moment you have a garden, you create this little ecosystem, and the birds come in, and the bees come in, and the worms come in, and you get a little wee haven in the middle of the bustle. If you think of just a wee park in an urban environment, just how nice it is to go where there's all these trees and all these birds singing and all these insects and a lot happening in a small space. And I think too, and there's been quite a bit of research on this, that any sort of green space is actually beneficial for the mental health of people, because people aren't really built for lots and lots of cars and lots of concrete. You know, they don't really function that well. They get quite stressed in that sort of environment. You have a little green haven with a few birds singing and food growing, and there's that kind of mental feel-good factor that's really important that happens.
There's a stigma that organic food and free-range food is exclusively for the upper to middle socioeconomic classes. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is that supermarkets have too much say and too much power, and they charge too much for organics. Like, they think, oh, this is for the people with money. So, you know, the organic production costs are high because there's much more manual labour involved, and because you can't do things on a large scale, like, you know, make it spray with a pesticide. But there is one supermarket, and I'm not advertising, I just know that there is one, up in Auckland. And so what they do is they price their organic fruit and vegetables at the same price as their non-organic, and then they have a much higher turnover of the organic produce because people want to buy it, but, you know, when they go to other supermarkets and it's out of their price range, so they can't buy it. So if other supermarkets would do that, then they would have a much higher turnover organic stuff, and then they could buy a lot more, and, you know, we could buy large scale, and that would really, it would encourage farmers to turn organic, because then they would know that their produce bought in large scale.
Yeah, I think it's kind of scary as well, as you say, how much power, say, supermarkets have, and how when something becomes quite almost trend-based, like how it's almost trendy to eat well-made food, essentially, how the price goes up with that. And I think that if we can produce more local initiatives and local gardens and communities, maybe we can break down that dictation of trend and supermarkets.
Absolutely. And also, you know, if you've got a local organic shop or a local fruit and veg shop that sells organic stuff, you know, support them, support the little people that, you know, can't buy en masse and can't tell the farmers and the growers what to do. They just, you know, and try and buy from the roadside stalls if you can, or from someone you know that maybe they're not certified organic, but you know that they grow using organic methods, because the certification process is quite a long-winded process, and it can be a price barrier to a small grower, you know, because if you're only growing a small amount and you've still got those costs, it can be a bit prohibitive to some people. So get behind any initiative that you can, and either grow food or buy food off some, you know, local grower that you trust, and you're taking the money out of the supermarket system and you're putting it into the local economy.
One last question. What's for dinner tonight in your household?
I have made a big, thick, rich tomato soup with some lentils and red rice, and it's sitting in the fridge waiting to get heated up again tonight.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Mauri Ora.